Thank you so much, Rachel. We really appreciate you doing that. It was cool. I shared with Rachel kind of the direction I was planning on going today, and she came up to me and said, hey, what about this song for a special? And it was perfect. Just really appreciate her being open to that and doing that for us. So thank you so much. It is so cool to be a part of this body of Christ. I'll tell you, we get to send out Casey today, which was awesome. You know, we're concerned with more than just our local community, but we're sending her out to the a bigger portion of the body of Christ, right? And some of you remember Nick and Gabby Knapp. We released and sent them out to be a blessing to a church in Pennsylvania, and they went out there. Gabby was one of our worship leaders, and Nick led our youth group for many years, and our lead pastor, my dad, actually had the opportunity to go and guest speak there today. They invited him out there because the church is doing well and God's blessing it. So he has the opportunity to do that too. So as I say, it's so cool to see that our local body, our little old us, right, is affecting the world in different places, and we get to be a part of that. And I am beyond blessed. I can't even tell you enough how much I feel honored and privileged to be a part of this body of Christ that's concerned with the bigger kingdom, that's concerned about what God cares about, which is people. Right, and I get to be here with you, and you guys get to be part of this as well. It's just so cool that we get to do this together. So thank you so much, and even for those of you that are watching online, you're part of this as well too. So we thank you for that. We're just so glad that you guys are here and that we get to do this together. It's just beyond words how privileged and honored I feel personally to do that. So thank you for being part of this and putting up with me for a second week. I'm excited to share with you. This is going to be a lot of fun. This is a continuation of last week where we talked about unity. We're better together. So this is a part two of that where I'm very, very excited to dive into it. I want to start with Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13. You'll see it up on the screen. And it says, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of God. Let's just take a moment and pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this time that we get to spend together here, Lord. I ask that your words would resonate in our hearts today, that we would hear what you have to speak to us, and that you would lead and guide us during this entire time as individuals and corporately together, God. We thank you for it. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. So this portion of Scripture lays out a few things. It opens up with what we refer to as the fivefold ministry, right? The teacher, the pastor, the prophet, the apostle, and the evangelist. These five ministry giftings that God gives to individuals in the body of Christ. And so we see this listed, and then the natural question comes up of, okay, why does God give us these giftings, right? Why does individuals get blessed with this? And the answer can be found right in the next verse, verse 12. It says, to equip his people for works of service. Now, this is interesting, because I alluded to this a little bit last week, where I talked about sacrificial love, right? That we give of ourselves, we love first. That's the sacrificial love. Where acts of service truly opens the door for unity. And it's incredible. I think of Jesus' ministry, right? And at the very end of his walk with his disciples, he's having the Last Supper there. And he takes off his outer garment and he gets down on his knees and he pours water into the basin and he washes his disciples' feet, taking the position of the lowest of servants, just the person at the bottom of the totem pole. And he goes there and he washes and he says, as I've served you, go and do likewise. And then I think of the verse that Jesus said about himself. He says, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. Right? We see service is characterized in Jesus' ministry over and over again. I think of the feeding of the 5,000. He went off by himself to pray, and the multitudes approached him, and it says he turned and healed their sick and taught them and spent time with them. He showed them that they had value, that they were worth his time. And so he gave them of his time. And it's this powerful, powerful illustration of service throughout Jesus' ministry. And Paul reiterates it here in Ephesians by telling us to serve one another in love. Right now, this isn't always easy, as we talked about last week. There's different hindrances, different things that get in our way. but service opens the door for unity. And the next part of this verse that says to equip the people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. That word built up can be translated, can be healthy, strong, or firm. Right? That's what that means. It's the body is healthy. The body is functioning as the body of Christ. And I would dare say that we can't be a healthy church if we're unwilling to serve one another. That we can't have a healthy spiritual walk with God if we're unwilling to serve one another. And this makes sense in family. This makes sense in workplace. This makes sense in everything we go through, that we're willing to serve one another, put others before ourselves. And as a body of Christ, we're called to do it. And I'm so glad I'm part of a church, part of a body that believes in this, that we act this out. We serve one another. We're there for one another. But I bring this word to say there's always room for growth in our lives, right? Maybe we're good at it in one area, and we got to work on it in another. You know, and I think God has put that on my heart in some ways too, that we need to spur one another on in this, to encourage one another, to build each other up, just as this verse talks about, so we can be healthy and strong, so that we can accomplish the work that God has called us to do. It says in Ephesians chapter 2, so you back up two chapters here, in verse 10, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." He's got good things for us to do. He's prepared these things for us to do. And as we serve, as we give, as we love the people around us through service, it creates an opportunity for unity. And it's this awesome, awesome opportunity. The next verse, verse 13, it says, "This will continue, this building up of the body to get healthy has to continue until we all reach three things: unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, and that we become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of God." So these three things, you know, I brought up at the first service that I'm a little bit sensitive to my age, because I was recently, you know, I have always thought I look young, because people have always told me, "Oh, you can't be that old. You look way younger than that." But recently, in the last few months, I went to a place of business, and I was talking with somebody, and somehow it came up that I said, and I made the statement, "I know I probably look younger than this, but I'm actually this old." And they said, "Oh, that's what I would have guessed." And so I all of a sudden became a little sensitive to that, you know, that apparently I don't look as young as I used to. But I've been walking with the Lord now for 23 years, where I've been pursuing Him and really after Him. And in those 23 years, I've loved three-point sermons. Right, I've been surrounded by them, inundated with them, three-point sermons. That's just kind of like the way you do it. And I love how this verse has three simple points, right? Three ways to break it down here. So this is naturally what we're going to flow into, which is just cool. So that's my little background for that. But anyway, so we reach the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, and we become mature. So let's dissect this a little bit, reaching unity of the faith, right? We talked a lot about this last week, unity, how important it is for us. And what came to mind this week as I was preparing this is Acts chapter 2, verse 1. And it says, on the day of Pentecost, unfortunately this won't be up on the screen, but you can follow with me. It says, on the day of Pentecost, they were gathered together in one place. And it's talking about the disciples, right? And often when you're writing to try to be concise, you would say, okay, they were gathered together. But the book of Acts throws, they were gathered together and in one place, one central location. So I dove into that a little bit, and the two words mean different things, actually. The word "together" means that they were of one mind. They were in unity together. They had experienced oneness together. And then the "in one place" happened to be they were in one geographical location. And we remember the setup for this is Jesus had just ascended into heaven 10 days earlier. And he said, "Wait in Jerusalem until you're endowed with power from the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses all over the world." Right? Is what Jesus said to them. So they're waiting, they're eagerly anticipating the promise of Jesus. Didn't know if it was going to be 100 days, 5 days, a week, 10 days, what it was. It ended up being 10 days. They're waiting, the Holy Spirit falls on them because they were together in one place. That they were in unity. They experienced there was no division, there was no conflict in that moment because the Spirit was poured out on them. And they were able to then walk that out and be a witness of Jesus and the goodness of him to the world. And I feel like reaching unity in the faith, this is so huge, right? That sometimes we allow political differences, we allow difference of opinions, or that person hurt my feelings or whatever, to stop us and prevent us from walking alongside people to accomplish the will of God. But God says we're all one body. We need to reach unity together because we're all connected, that we're better together if we can work together to accomplish God's purposes. Then we're able to fulfill the Great Commission. We're able to do what God has called us to do. And it starts with that unity, reaching unity together so that we can then serve one another. And service, I believe, opens the door for unity. I heard a story just 2 weeks ago of a man named Frank Parrish, who is a director of World Map, a missions organizations that trains up pastors and teachers all over the world. And he said he was traveling through an airport and he encountered a Muslim man who happened to be a leader on an island that got devastated by a tsunami. And he was telling a story to Frank and how terrible it was, the devastation that happened, how they were without food and water and all these things. And then he went on to say, and then the Christians came. And there was this pause, and he said, so then what happened? He said, well, it was wonderful. They fed us. They gave us water. They set up hospitals for us. They took care of us. They showed us that we had value, and they cared about us. And any time a Christian wants to come to my island, I'll welcome them with open arms, even though I'm a Muslim, is what he said. And it's this incredible demonstration that service opens the door for unity, that we can work together. We can then have an avenue, a gateway to speak into people's lives because we've served them, because we showed we cared about them, and that they matter not only to us, but to God as well. And that's exactly what Jesus demonstrated when he served people, when he did his ministry here on earth. And it's such a deep revelation for us if we can grab a hold of that and say, yeah, I'm willing to do the hard work. I'm willing to do the hard thing in order to be a blessing, to open the door for unity, to open the door for God's message to go forth. And I know sometimes it can be tricky, right? Because sometimes the gift of service that's needed is chairs need stacked, or somebody needs a ride somewhere. It's inconvenient. It's not easy. But when we do it, we're often fulfilled even more than if we hadn't, right? Is because God blesses us when we bless others. He pours into us so we can be a blessing and pour into others. He gives us what we need. So it's a gateway to there. So the first point there was we're reaching for unity in the faith. Then the knowledge of the Son of God. Now this one, many Christians, once you hear this, you think to yourself, oh, I know Jesus. He's living within me. I've got the knowledge of the Son of God, so we'll check that off the list. And that is the beginning point to what this is talking about. That is accurate. That is the starting point, is you need a relationship with Jesus to start with. But this goes even deeper than that. And it dives into the aspect of learning and spending time with him. This can be accomplished through prayer, through worship, through reading his word, through a community with other believers. There's a bunch of different ways to accomplish this, right? That we can draw closer and experience the knowledge of Christ. But I loved what Brian talked about today at the beginning of worship. It just touched me and reaffirms this point so much, is when we get out of alignment, right? When something feels off in your core, your back, or even with your car, the car alignment illustration there, that you have to get it realigned. And we get it realigned by getting in community with Jesus, by being in fellowship with him. And there's a verse that talks about this, which I love, is in Colossians 2, verses 2 through 3. It says, my goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love. This is Paul speaking of believers. He says, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. See, once we realize that everything we need, everything we have access to, is hidden within Christ, then all of a sudden we make it a priority, right? Even though our day seems too busy and we say, I've stretched myself too thin, I'm running too much, I don't have time today, we say, but I know my day is always going to be better if I put God first, if I choose to spend that time with him, if I seek him for what I need, then he'll provide for the rest of my day. Because he needs to be the priority. He needs to be the top importance. And when we seek that knowledge of God, he's going to reveal it to us. verse in Matthew 7:7, I believe, comes to mind, where those who seek find, those who knock, the door will be open, and those who ask receive. That if we put God first, he's faithful and he will reveal himself as we seek him. He doesn't want to stay hidden. He wants to reveal his knowledge, his wisdom, his greatness. But it all starts with this relationship with him. And if we're unwilling to pursue that relationship, we're unable to discover the great things he has for us as well. They're like treasures to be discovered by us, if we'll pursue it, if we'll seek him, if we'll draw near to him through that. And for our last part here, it says, until we become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. This maturity, again, speaks of a health. It speaks of a grownness, you know, that, like I mentioned earlier, to grow in the body, it says that the body of Christ may be built up. Service is like the physical exercise for that, right? That you do the service and then you feel, it's as if you were lifting weights or exercising. You stretch yourself. You get healthier and stronger from that. And this maturity is speaking of a similar thing, where we are grown, we become familiar with, and we know what needs done. And he goes on in that original passage we read, Ephesians 4. We're going to pick up at verse 14 and read through 16 now, because Paul gives us this awesome illustration that pictures this awesome. It says, then we will no longer be infants. This is once we've attained to the fullness of Christ, that we've become mature. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, we'll be speaking the truth in love. We will grow to become, in every respect, the mature body of him who is the head. That is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. This verse revealed something to me as I was going through this in preparation. And it was, not only are we better together, but we need one another. And that's hard for somebody like me. I'm an entrepreneur. I'm a go-getter kind of person. And I'm sure, like many of you, because most of us have experienced some hardships in life, I've got trust issues, right? You know, as many of us do, you know, where now I'm depending on you to do your part, because God says every part doing its work, that we're one body, right? So for instance, as a body, all the parts are connected through some source, right? The arm can operate independently of the leg, but it's still connected to the leg. And the body of Christ is the same way, where we're all connected to one another, and we need each part to do its part so we can be strong, so we can be healthy, so we can attain to the fullness of what God has us. And the obvious question that comes to mind, and that I felt to just ask God when I was preparing this too, is, God, am I doing my part? Am I being faithful to do my part? Because I can't enforce anybody else to. I can't make anybody do that, but I can help me. I can do what I need to do. And I would dare say, I think God wants to ask that question to each and every one of us, is, are you doing your part? Are you serving the body in love? Are you doing that? Because without service, without serving the body, we can't be healthy and mature and grow in God. And again, I'm not trying to wear anybody out. Some of you are serving probably too much. Some of you may not need to serve as much, but we need the whole body to operate together, because the leg can't be the arm. The arm can't be the leg. We need each part to do its part, because we need each other to function at our fullest potential and to accomplish what God has called us to accomplish. And with that being said, thank you. We can stand to our feet maybe, if you're able, because this is a huge thing. As I say, it's hard sometimes when we realize we need each other, that we're better together because we need one another to all do our parts. And I want to ask you to just bow your head right now and ask the Holy Spirit, what are you speaking to me through this message? The three main topics we covered was reaching unity in the faith. It was growing in the knowledge of the Son of God and becoming mature. Is there anything in that God's saying to you, I'm pinpointing this, I'm putting my finger on this, and I need you to grow in this? I need you to serve your family in love. I need you to serve your brothers and sisters in the church. I need you to serve the world, to make a gateway into the world. I need you to spend more time with me, to get to know my heart so I can help work out these problems you're experiencing, because in me is everything you need. The fullness of the riches of God are contained within Christ. And we need to make that time a priority. We need to spend that time with him. And maybe God's pinpointing that. Maybe it's in this realm of maturity, what comes to mind is like holding grudges, is doing things that are we're beyond. We know better then. And God's saying, let it go. God's saying, let me remove it so that you can move forward in me. Experiencing the maturity so you can do everything I've called you to do unencumbered, unhindered, because I got great things for you. Lord Jesus, right now, as each and every person here is just asking you, Lord, what are you speaking to me? I ask that you would reveal it, that you would pinpoint those areas, the things in their lives that are holding them back and holding back the entire body of Christ in some ways. Lord, we want to be healthy. We want to be strong. We thank you that we're a church that believes in unity, that we're a church that wants to walk together in your will, that we want to grow strong in you so that we can impact even more people for you, for your kingdom, to advance your kingdom, God, is our heart. I thank you for your people here, and as you reveal to them that they are able to make the adjustments necessary through your help, your strength, and walk out the lives that you've called them to walk in. I thank you for it. In your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. If you would like prayer for anything, we are here for you. I would love to do that with you. If you're a visitor here, I would love to meet you afterwards. I'll be out in the back once I can make my way there, and I have a gift for you as well. Would love to meet you and get to know you a little better too. So thank you so much for being here today. God bless you guys. Have a wonderful rest of your week and a great day. Take care.